Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of the man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Buddy, what was your highlight of the week?
Well, my NBL highlight of the week, funnily enough, came from the Adelaide-Sydney game, which went into overtime. It was just fantastic, but the way that overtime was had started was a very, very tense situation, and Andrew Bogut gets the ball around about the elbow, which I still think should be called the shoulder, but that's a whole other conversation, and he's attacked the basket and thrown down this wicked dunk, sort of real statement dunk to start the overtime. I know the 36ers got in front from there a couple of times still, and it was still precarious right to the end, but that was a moment where I sort of thought that Sydney is going to win this. Adelaide's going to have to get 5 or 6 points in front because Sydney's going to win this. It was just a statement dunk by Bogut. I'd like to see him do a lot more of that. What about yourself?
Oh, that was a brilliant dunk, Buddy. That was, yep. You know, he just hammered that down. Well, for me, it was the Sydney-Melbourne game last night, Monday night game in Melbourne. That was just phenomenal. I just thoroughly enjoyed that game. It was something that I hadn't seen at that caliber for a long time. There were some great games this weekend, but, geez, that was good.
Yeah, you say you haven't seen a game of that caliber for some time. Yeah, 48 hours. Because in Adelaide on Saturday night, that Adelaide-Sydney game was an absolute humdinger in front of a record crowd. I mean, they're calling it a record crowd because it was 8,200 plus, which is more than what they could get in a Titanium Security Arena. But back in the day when Brett Maher played his last game or the 94 grand final, there were people on the concourse. There were people not being counted because of fire restrictions. But that was a great game. Did you not enjoy Sydney-Adelaide?
Mate. We are 120 seconds into this podcast and you're already having a go at me.
I couldn't wait, mate. I couldn't wait. I saw you tweet that and I thought, look, it was a great game. I'm not disputing that Melbourne and Sydney wasn't a great game. I'm just saying this is a season where we're seeing great games on a regular basis.
True. That I would be true. But just sitting there watching it last night, I just got to say that I was sitting there thinking, I just want more of this. Yeah. I just want to keep going and keep going. And whilst I loved the game on Saturday night, I was just praying for that game last night to not. It was just big shot after big shot. I love Casper Ware just giving it to Melbourne. Like, I just love that. I thought Trimble was great. It was just so good. The whole thing was just brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm not going to dispute that. What about WNBL?
Yeah, I did. And for me, the highlight of this round is, look, obviously they were the Dandenong Rangers last year and the Southside Flyers. It's fair to say that they're lucky to be there this year. I'm not using wrong words, but there was times that they were just not going to be around. And for them to be playing this season, number one, is great. But to be 6-0, that right now is the highlight for me. Oh, I just love watching them play. I love a team that was on the brink and now look at the way they're going.
Yeah, and you can thank Jerry Ryan from JCO for actually funding that and saving that program and turning it around. I've got to agree with you. They're looking very good. It wasn't my WNBL moment, although it does involve Southside. Mine for the weekend was the Bendigo-Southside game, which was really precariously poised at three-quarter time. And then Sarah Blitzarves came out and did the blitz with a 16-point last quarter and turned it into a runaway win. So that's what stood out for me. But I've got to agree, the Flyers' progress this season, fantastic.
Yeah, look, I mean, WNBL's been great, NBL's been great. I've been loving both. What I also have been loving is your website. I've been reading that for years and I've loved it. Geez, you've had some good ones this week. What's out now? What's up at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment, I've got Players of the Week, which always cause some sort of controversy. I get a few emails and tweets and texts from people saying, you know, wow, never thought of that person. Great. But I'm saying that because I get that in a low percentage. A high percentage I get, you're an idiot. That shouldn't be.
Jeez, that must be the same high percentage I get.
I think one of them is. Yeah, we've got to have our spouses stop writing in.
My wife's calling you an idiot. Yeah.
Why should mine be in a minority? Yeah. If you come along to www.botinagy.com, I've got my Players of the Week up, men and women, and hopefully you'll spark a little bit of controversy.
I do want to pick your brain a little bit, because I love your quirkiness on your website, right? You know, it takes some people to sort of read that. And I think sometimes I read that and go, I wonder if everyone else actually gets what he's trying to say, because I love your quirkiness. Where'd that come from? Like, is that just you? Like, I just think it's great. Where did it come from?
Oh, long story short, when I first started as a journalist, the first sports story I wrote, I tried to write it as everybody else would, so I would fit in as a sports writer. And I was very, very lucky that my sports editor, Jeff Roach, who was a basketball player for New South Wales and South Australia, said to me, that's a really good sporting story. Any one of the people out here in the sporting department would be happy to have written that story. But if you want to be different, then you need to put your point of view into that story, not be the same as everyone else. And it was great advice. I just took it back. And then I just wrote, I was a bit sarcastic, I was a bit silly, but I was sort of, as long as I kept the facts straight and people knew that I was serious, that there could be fun to be had, there was fun to be had. But that's where it came from. It came from guidance, which I don't know if that happens today in media as much as it did back in those days.
Oh, no, certainly not. No, I read media and it's like too serious. And I like, and that's what I love when I read your articles. It's, you know, having a crack probably more at yourself than you do at anyone else, which I just think's fantastic. So, I love it. So let's go on to this week's rounds. Yep. I'm also going to talk about, I think it's interesting what we picked last week, because we had some on-air issues of who's going to win what.
And
I think
well.
I'll bring that. Yeah, we did all right. So we'll start with New Zealand Cairns. New Zealand winning 93-85. We both picked New Zealand. I don't think that was anything, you know, untoward there. Good game by New Zealand.
Yep. Didn't you stick your neck out and say you thought it was time Brisbane was going to take the step ahead of the Perth
game? Yes, I did. I did think Brisbane was going to beat Perth. Mind you, I did also pick some other games that I was wrong, but in this one I did. And I thought Brisbane, after the week they had, I thought the way Lemanis came out and had his crack to the media about the imports, I did think they were going to win that game. And geez, they played well, 87-78. Jason Kadee.
Yes.
You know, when that guy's on, he is as good as anyone. He is really, really good when he is on. Obviously, the biggest thing is you want him on more than not. And, you know, he's had two good games this weekend. It's about, you know, backing up and doing it more.
What I like about Jason is if he catches the ball in rhythm, that two steps in, or if he's coming off the dribble and takes the stride steps in, he's a very accurate three-point shooter. Some of the time when he just catches it and he's stationary, that's when he's erratic, or he tends to be erratic. So when he's in rhythm, well, he's as good a three-point shooter as anybody in the league.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Southeast Melbourne, Phoenix, Melbourne United. I think the honeymoon's over for the Phoenix. I still thought they played all right, but Melbourne flexed their muscle. We both actually picked United in that one, so no real shock. But Melbourne, you know, doing what they can, and they've still got, you know, Casey Prey that have come back as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't worried about Melbourne at all. You know, people panicked about Melbourne a week or two ago, and then they beat Cairns and they dropped the next game. And, oh, you know, they're not what they were, and they're the 1-4 or whatever it is people are getting worked up about. I got no doubt about Melbourne. As have you, Brad. You've got Perth, Sydney, Melbourne as three of the four teams.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I've seen nothing to change my opinion on that. So they have a little loss here and there. I'm not fussed about it. And they got Prather to come back. Not the least bit concerned about Melbourne. And I thought it was they'd probably make a statement this weekend, and they certainly did.
And to your credit too, you picked them both. Well, actually, no, you picked them to beat Phoenix, but you both of us picked them to not beat the Kings, which they did, but we'll come back to that one in a second. The next game, obviously, New Zealand versus Perth. We both picked Perth, no shock there. I didn't, you know, New Zealand, they're just an interesting cat, that team. I can't pick them, and you just know Perth, you're just gonna have to play solid to get a win, and they did enough.
Yep, they just take care of business. I mean, if you just said before the game, Perth's going to win in New Zealand and Bryce Cotton's going to score 4 points, you might have scratched your head and said, no, that can't happen. So the fact that they can do that, again, shows they're not dependent on anybody. So, you know, they got so many guys that can contribute. It's fantastic.
Well, I said last week, I thought Illawarra have got that game in them. I don't know when that game will come. And I thought it was this round where I thought they're going to come out and they're just going to blow a team away because they're going to score heaps of points. They're going to be athletic. They're going to run up and down. Man, was I wrong. They were woeful. That's as simple as I will put it. They were terrible against the Brisbane Bullets. 83-69 they scored.
Yeah, it's just not a very good team. And I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, I know people want to say, well, this guy's injured or this and that. But look, I was not a believer in the beginning. I had a few tete-a-tetes with Hawks fans on various social media, but I didn't think they had put together an impressive group. I think there was a lot of hype about the Mellow Bowl, justified. I'm not, you know, disputing that the hype wasn't warranted, but it is hype. And it's one player, and it's a rookie coach dealing with some experienced talent that has its own opinions on. You know, that was always going to be a tough year for them, and I'm not seeing anything I didn't expect.
Yeah, look, I picked Illawarra, you picked Brisbane, you're right. For me, there was an interesting thing on Twitter. Illawarra put out a tweet of a video. I don't know if you saw it. And
yes,
it was a video. I thought that was brilliant. I loved it. I enjoyed watching that. And for our listeners, it was a video of the coaching staff sitting down, deciding what they're going to go. Is it a two-man? Is it a four-man? And everyone's having their opinion. And I thought that was really good.
Yep.
The problem is, you know, Charles Barkley's not going to help this team right now. They're not a happy bunch. You've got guys that are just not playing together. They look like I don't know what they need, but, you know, Josh Boone looks like a completely different player than he has been for Melbourne. Blanchfield, man, that guy's, you know, getting shots up. But those shots are late in the clock. He's trying to create him himself. He's not coming off down screens and picks. LaMelo Ball is a flat-out star, but, you know, it just does not look right. And I don't know where they're going to get another win.
Well, look, go back a little bit and we go Josh Boone. In Melbourne's championship year, he was excellent. You know, he was combining with Ty Wesley. They were a great 4-5, 1-2 punch, and they worked very well together. And let's be honest, last year he wasn't that good. He was, it was almost as though Josh has reached the top of the mountain and Josh is sort of starting to head down the other side. And now Melbourne United recognised that, went for Sean Long, moved on to a new young stud. And Illawarra's reached out and sort of they've got a guy whose best days are in the rearview mirror. So that's Josh. I'm not saying he's not going to give him some good games, but if they're expecting him to be a top-tier import, those days are past. And so, again, same with a couple of the other guys. Ogilvy's up and down. David Anderson will give you as much as he can in the time you play him, but he's got to be consistently in the rotation. I think we discussed last week, Brad, that Blanchfield looks like a lost soul. So do some of the other guys. Nah, Greta.
Here's my problem with Illawarra, buddy. For me, the biggest problem I've got is they talk about how they're a youthful club and they've got to bring guys through. You've got, you know, Boone that you'd have to think is not going to be next year. Obviously, Aaron Brooks is gone. I don't know if Dave Anderson will play another year, but if he does, so be it. Conrad, you may get another year or two out of him. But the Emmett Nars and the Gritters and these kids,
Froling.
If you don't do the right Froling, absolutely. Jeez, there's another one. If you don't do the right thing by these kids now, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they're thinking about tomorrow. Yeah. And I think you need to be. And I that's what I worry because Emmett Nahr and Gritter are two very good talents. Look how they were last year. They look chalk and cheese from last season.
Yep. And it's the same with Blanchfield.
Blanchfield the same. So what do you think their agents are in their ear saying? Mate, I'm looking elsewhere.
Yeah.
If this is how this is going to be, you got to go. And I think that'll be a shame. So let's move on to the last game, Melbourne United versus the Sydney Kings. We both thought Sydney would flex their muscle. Jeez, they played well, Sydney. They did everything, but Melbourne were just better. They were just great. And Sean Long, wow.
Okay. All right. I'm hearing what you're saying, but now I'm going to put this into some context because I'm watching it with no particular interest in either team in terms of who I support. And I didn't think the officiating was as bad as Will Weaver obviously did. I also didn't factor in Didi Luzada not being able to play the second half because he was a factor in the game as well. And in the first half, I honestly thought Sydney were cruising. I thought they're going to win this by double figures. And it was only when the circumstances started to change and Long started to assert himself and Trimble started to, you know, maybe get past the fact that it was Casper and just try to win it for his team, you know, it all changed. I mean, coming out after halftime, having Chris Goulding knock down a couple of free throws, you're watching your 7-point halftime lead, which only a minute or two before that had been 11-point lead. disintegrate. And then Chris Gording again scored, I think, on the additional possession. So suddenly a 7-point lead's three. And Melbourne picked up and got a momentum going out of that. So I think there were circumstances that did assist United. And full credit to them, they took full advantage. Good luck to them. And they won the ball game, ended Sydney's winning streak. But if I'm a King, I'm not terribly fussed.
Buddy, I couldn't agree more with you. If you're a Sydney Kings fan, you lose nothing from that. If you're the club, I saw the owner came out and said he was very proud. I got to be honest, though, I couldn't believe what happened to Weaver. I mean, that guy, that felt like an out-of-body experience. He was the most calm coach I've ever seen in my life. And then he turns around and does what he does. But I tell you what, I love that he was supporting his player. There was a push there. There's no question. Yep. That's what his frustration was. But to take it to that next level, and he's come out today and they've fined him for I think it's code of conduct or whatever it is. But yeah, if I'm the Kings, I lose nothing on that. And I do agree with what you're saying. I think Diddy coming out wasn't great for them. But all in all, Melbourne's still at the winner. And I thought they were really good. And they are also missing a 3-time NBL champion in Casey Prather. So if he comes back and they're healthy, man, that could be a problem in the grand final.
Yeah, but you never factor Perth out of that equation. Oh,
you're right. Jeez, thank you, Perth listeners. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
I think on the eastern coast, we tend to sort of wait for Perth to disappear, and they don't. They don't disappear.
No, they will around December, because that's when they don't play at home much and everyone says, here they go, and geez, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. Then they'll just win it like they normally do. So,
that sounds about right, yeah.
Boddy, let's move on. WNBL, some fantastic games this round. Bendigo beating Adelaide. Fantastic effort by Bendigo.
Yeah, I am so annoyed with myself because for the previous two games, I had tipped against Adelaide on the road in Perth, and Townsville, believing that the absence of Crystal Langhorne with a knee injury was going to hobble them, but they won both those games. So this time around, I thought, no, I'll have faith in them. I'll go for Adelaide, and whack, Bendigo beats them by 13.
Don't worry, all our listeners are going opposite you anyway, mate, so you've done well. So that's all good.
Yeah, they shot at 33%. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, I bet you. Now, Capitals flex their muscle against the Flames. Flames were in it up until, their second quarter was pretty awful. But they played well in the first quarter and then just, Canberra.
I think that was probably still Sydney feeling good about itself having won the previous week. So, we're going. And then Canberra said, no, that's enough. And as we said on this broadcast last week, Brad, Canberra had to make a statement after losing those two games on the road. And they did. 25-point win. That's a statement. On we go.
Couldn't agree more. I enjoyed watching those games. So Townsville beating, that was, to me, Townsville Perth was a great game. Great game this round. Yep. And geez, I enjoyed watching that way. And man, Bishop, 31-11. She's just a weapon.
What an absolute pain it must be to be a Lynx supporter. Now, that's three games in a row they've gone to overtime, and they're 0-3. It's like, can we get it done in 40 minutes? Because if we go beyond that, we're stuffed.
You're not going to get there.
Yeah, we're not going to get there.
It was good, though. Bendigo couldn't back up. And obviously the Flyers, we spoke about them, they're now 6-0, and they got a nice win against Bendigo.
Yeah, a nice one against Bendigo, and then they followed up on Cup Eve and knocked off Melbourne. Again, I think we were pretty confident that was going to happen. I think the WNBL is still sorting itself out. I think Adelaide, they really need to get Langhorne on the court, and if they're not going to, they might need to find somebody else.
Yeah, it's there's some interesting games that are played and some interesting games coming up as well. So I'll lead into this week's round. It starts this week with the Sydney Uni Flames at home against Townsville Heat. Oh, can't see Sydney winning that. Well, sorry, Townsville Fire. I'm sorry I said Heat, but can't see Sydney winning that. Your thoughts?
No, I'm a bit the same. I think Townsville, to go over to Perth and win in Perth when you haven't won a game this season, that would have filled them full of confidence, remembering that Sydney had lost in Perth earlier in the season. And just on those sorts of factors, you've got to favour Townsville to get that.
Now, here's the game. Dandenong Stadium. The Flyers 6-0 up against the Capitals, who fired back this round. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's the big game. That's the defending champs against the unbeaten leaders. And Canberra found itself a bit last week. I'm not sure where they sit with Michaela Roof. who's an American import that has played in our league for a couple of teams. They've been trying to get her through on permanent residency, and it's sort of week by week as to when that's happening. If she comes into that Canberra lineup, I would expect them to cause the upset and a bit of a boil over there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been some games. Here's one. Who are you going to tip, or who should we go opposite of? Adelaide versus Bendigo in Adelaide. Come on.
I think the Lightning have to get that. There were circumstances last week that were happening with a couple of the players off the floor, which we can't go into. But I think at home, they should get Bendigo. But, I mean, Tracy York, the Bendigo coach, is from Adelaide, so it's not like that place is foreign to her. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, it will be. Capitals then have a doubleheader and they play Melbourne. Thoughts?
Well, you know, Canberra came down and played and got beaten by, lost a couple of games earlier last weekend, the weekend before last, and pretty badly they lost to Melbourne. So I think they've got a bit of a score to settle. I would not be surprised if this round Canberra came out of it 2-0 and got the Boomers. Melbourne's got to bounce back after losing the South side, so... Very interesting game. Jeez. Yeah, going with Canberra.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, Perth Lynx to round out the weekend, playing Sydney Uni in Perth. Sydney, obviously, playing Townsville a few days before. I can't see anything but a pretty easy win for Perth.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about easy, but I'll definitely take Perth, but I don't know about easy. I don't think there's too many easy games. I think if you think that way, those are the ones that sneak up on you and bite you on the butt.
Yeah, look, I mean, fair enough. I mean, the Flames 1-4, I hear you. Perth have not set the world on fire, but just at home, I just think they'll be too tough. Obviously, can you see anyone, you know, getting between? I mean, you know, you got the Flyers and the Boomers 1-2 at the moment. You know the Capitals are going to come good. Where else is it going to come from?
Well, I had liked Adelaide while I had Langhorne, but she's played the first game only, got a double-double, was outstanding, and has had some sort of meniscus problem with her knee, and we haven't seen her since. So if she comes back and is anywhere near what she looked like in that first game, then I'd put Adelaide into the four. If not, then, it could be Perth, could be anybody, could be anybody.
Yeah, and Bishop for Townsville has just been awesome, averaging 21 a game. She's just holding that group together, isn't she?
Yeah, and Michaela Cox, we should never look past the captain.
Good point. Yeah.
Had a really good game in Perth as well, 22 points and a bunch of other stats right across the board that were all very impressive. I love her. She's just a never-say-die sort of athlete that just keeps going for it. You know, I love it. I love seeing her when she's playing for New Zealand. Same sort of attitude. Doesn't care who the opponent is. Is just going to go out there and leave it all out there. Love players like that.
Yeah, good stuff. I agree. Let's move on to our next rounds for the NBL. It starts on Thursday night. New Zealand Breakers take on Melbourne over in New Zealand. Oh, this, I tell you, again, toss of the coin was in New Zealand. You just don't know what you're going to get. Melbourne played Monday night. It's only a three-day break. They're still a little bit injury prone. I'm going to go Melbourne because I think they're feeling good about themselves, but anything could happen in that game.
Yep. No, I tend to agree. I think how you feel about yourself is very relevant to how you perform. Casey Prather is making that trip. Now, whether he plays 1 minute or 0 minutes, I think they're wanting to suit him up. So, again, I reckon they're just going to be feeling good about themselves. And look, we've got the safety net now. So, I'm going with Melbourne.
I just hope for the league and for the Melbourne United that Casey is the same Casey, because I loved watching that guy play. He was just such a weapon. He's a winner. We know that. 3 seasons he's played here with 3 championships, and he's just composure and everything. I just hope he comes back the same player. Brisbane Bullets, this is a big one for Sydney on Friday night. Oh, man, how do you round that out? I'm going to go Sydney. But geez, Brisbane, if they come good, I'm actually calling that game, so I'm really looking forward to it. So to me, Sydney in a close one.
Okay, yeah, I'm the same. I mean, Brisbane beating Perth was impressive. Brisbane rolling over Illawarra, well, Illawarra, you know, they're not much to worry about right at the moment. So I wasn't quite as dazzled by that. Sydney played very well to win in Adelaide, played very well to lose in Melbourne. You've got to favour them. I don't have any issues with Sydney. I think they're very deep, looking a real championship contender.
Yeah, agree. Saturday, we've got a doubleheader. We start with Phoenix versus the Breakers. Obviously, we know Breakers played 2 nights earlier. Phoenix to bounce back for me in a good win against them.
Same here. I've got a circle around Phoenix saying this will be where they jump back into the winner's circle.
And Cairns versus Illawarra. Now, this could go anywhere, but, oh, man, nah, Cairns for me. I can't back Illawarra.
When Cairns lost by a point to Illawarra in Wollongong, they didn't know how to close out that game. They really, they had it, you know, by the short and curlies, and they just didn't know how to give it a yank. And unfortunately, they lost that one from a Taipans point of view. I think at home, the way they're travelling, that's Cairns.
Another doubleheader on Sunday and two beauty of games too. Melbourne versus United. Whoa, what a game. Melbourne backing up Adelaide, probably fresh. Oh, you just know when Adelaide get in sync, they're so good. But I'm going to go Melbourne purely because they're at home.
Yeah, well, these four teams that are playing on Sunday, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney and Perth, were the teams that I sort of thought would make the four.
Agreed with you as well.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced by Adelaide. They've still got to find it. They've got to find someone that can run the point behind Jerome Randall because Daniel Dillon obviously is out of favour. He's not hitting the floor.
Do you know anything about that? I mean, I just want to stay on that for a second because he was good in preseason. What's happened there?
I think they want him to play some defence.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
That's what I suspect it is. You know, with Joey, if you're not doing it at the defensive end of the floor, it doesn't matter what you're giving him offensively. So I think that's Daniel Dillon's got to make a decision. He either changes his game or changes his mindset, or he spends a lot of time pulling splinters out of his butt.
Well, that's what he's doing at the moment. So who you got, Melbourne or Adelaide?
Oh, I've got Melbourne at home at this point. Yeah, got to.
Yeah, agreed. And then Sydney round out the weekend at home versus Perth. Perth have no game for the weekend. They get a nice little rest. And I noticed in their post-game interviews, they mentioned that they'd been on the road a bit, so they're quite happy about that. And then they come back. So Sydney obviously playing a doubleheader, go to Brisbane on Friday night. Again, I just think Sydney are playing way too well to lose there. But anything can happen with Perth. You know how good they are.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to this game. I'm looking forward to this as much as I was the Melbourne-Sydney game, which was probably the game of last round that I was really most looking forward to seeing and certainly wasn't disappointed. And I don't expect to be on Sunday. I think that's going to be an absolute cracker. And I think Sydney will win.
Right. I'm going to move on to Rosen's Rattler. I'm going to get in first. And I'm going to say Will Weaver. Mate. What is going on there? Mate, it's been a whole lot of media this week about Gorge and, you know, the Brian Gorgian and, you know, his situation. And Will Weaver, mate, did he bring the Brian Gorgian out on the weekend? Look, I do agree with what happened and what he said and why he was angry. But geez, mate, was that like a different person?
Well, it's almost like
man in the world.
Exactly. It's almost like the little guy that's got pushed around just enough, and he's gone home and got an AK-47. You know, that was just such an overreaction. And like, if the players aren't holding him back, what's he think? What's he going to do? The players don't hold him back and they say, sure, we'll go ahead. What's he going to do? Run over and headbutt, you know, Vaughn Mabry? What's he going to do? So,
you know what it I was like, buddy? I love it. What I loved was he was he said what he said, and then he was walking off, and you could see on the camera that Brad Newley said something to him. Now I don't know what he said, but it was obviously along the lines of, "Oh mate, they just gave you a tech," and boom, like just like his inner self stepped out of himself and said, "I am going straight at the referee," and he was getting held back. He's throwing. Oh man, I loved it. That's good old days. I had no problems with it. I love the fact that he was supporting, and also got to say, great job by the assistant coach, Adam Ford, to take over. Yeah, I thought he did a great job as well. But that was my Rosen's Rattler. I loved what Will Weaver did.
Yes, yeah, it was a fine moment. Now, my Nodges
just nasty. Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to go in a different direction. It's the decals. I'm really concerned about the decals and the amount of times players are slipping on them. Now, for the benefit of those listeners who don't know what they are, they're the advertising signage that's on the floors, you know, like for Hungry Jack's or MG, and these things are stuck down. So you've got to, when you put them down, you've got to make sure there's no bubbles or nothing in it so that there's no chance of slippage. Well, I'm seeing in a couple of venues, particularly, say, Wynn Entertainment Centre, guys are slipping over all over the place. And for the life of me, Brad, I can't understand, with so many clubs having portable courts and their own courts, why they don't paint it on, and then, you know, it's like the polish on the floor that is used, then it's basketball player friendly. At the moment, it's slippery. And it, I look back at John Gilchrist, who played for the 36ers. He was an import here many years ago, I think back in Scott Ninnis's last year. That guy tore his ACL and his MCL doing just driving into the keyway at the cage.
Yeah, I think Steve Carfino did something to his knee on a decal in Sydney or somewhere one time. I have to ask Steve about that. And that's a good point you raise. I think the first thing that came to my mind when you said painting, what about when you pick them up and because they're in pieces? So, but like you said, a lot of them are not because they're home venues. So, yep. It's a good point you make. Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, and until somebody gets seriously hurt and then decides to take some sort of legal action, because can you imagine LaMelo Ball? What his potential earning capacity is in the hundreds of millions. Now, if he was to rip himself up in some way on a decal, wow, I just don't like what the upshot might be. I think that needs to be revisited, and you need to have a duty of care for player safety.
Well, that's it for this podcast. Boddy, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Also, I just want to mention, if you have enjoyed this, there's a great podcast, NBL Pocket Podcast. Joe is the guy that runs that, and he helps us out here, does all the behind the scenes. Great guy, and he's got a fabulous podcast as well. So, Boddy, I know you've even been on that a couple of times. So if you, if you guys enjoy this, please feel free to listen. Boddy, you've been on it?
Yes, excellent. No discipline. We go for hours. But it's a good listen. And as you said, if you're enjoying us, you'll probably enjoy. I would be surprised if you didn't enjoy NBL Pocket Podcast.
Yeah, and Joe, thanks so much. And everyone out there, thanks for listening. Obviously, subscribe, like, or review, and follow us on Twitter. You can Instagram and Facebook as well. Not to mention, don't forget Boddy Nagy, BOTINAGY.com. And he is brilliant the way he writes. And I'm looking forward to commentating this weekend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.